Well, good morning, Palm Desert Community Presbyterian Church. My name is Ryan. I'm the Director of Family Ministries here. We are so excited to be worshiping with you, even if you're watching at home. We're in the middle of a series that we're calling You're Invited, and it's really about this invitation each and every one of us have every single day to live into a life that follows God more fully. This morning, as we begin, I want to tell you a story about something that happened to me several years ago. I used to work at Best Buy, and I worked in the Geek Squad, and I remember sitting over in the Geek Squad, kind of looking over in the home theater department. And if you've ever been to Best Buy, you know they have all these TVs on the walls, and this was kind of before everything was high definition, and they had standard definition and high definition TVs right next to each other, and you could see the difference between them. And sitting all day over there in Geek Squad, I kind of really wanted one. Every single day I would walk in and think, I'm going to get one of those one day, because look at the difference in quality. Now, I eventually saved enough money, begged my wife and my family enough to convince them to let me get one, and I remember taking it home, unpacking it. I got everything and anything you could ever want to kind of make it the best home theater experience possible. We unpackaged everything, we set it all up, and I remember turning the TV on and looking at it, and I didn't have another TV right next to it, so I could no longer have any kind of comparison of what it should look like. And I remember just kind of looking at it, my family looking at it, and being like, oh yeah, it's a TV. But I was disappointed. It didn't look like what in my mind I kind of pictured and was envisioning and thinking. It wasn't this mind-altering, life-changing TV experience that I thought it was going to be. But I didn't think too much of it after that. I was just happy that I was able to get it, and so I kind of continued on with my life. Several weeks later, I went to the optometrist to get my eyes checked out, and I ended up having to get a prescription. I ordered a pair of glasses, and several weeks later, I went and I picked those up, and some of you may have prescription glasses as well, or maybe you wear contacts, but I can tell you, I had this experience in the car when I finally sat down with my new pair of glasses, and I had seen the world one way for so long. I remember putting the glasses on for the very first time and looking at the world around me, and there was this big tree right in front of my car, and I realized something when I looked at that tree. I had not been able to see individual leaves in who knows how long. Suddenly, when I put my glasses on, I was able to see high definition in the world, like in real life. And I realized, oh my goodness, I think that's why my TV experience at home wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I couldn't get over looking at everything, anything and everything all around me. I was looking because suddenly with my glasses, with this prescription, I could see things far more clearly for what they actually were. And I had been looking at a skewed or a blurred vision of the world for a long, long time. I raced home and I turned on one of my favorite movies, and I was just jumping up and down with joy because it actually looked high definition. Like it was the actual picture that I had wanted the whole time. Suddenly, everything kind of made more sense. This morning, as we think about this idea of blurred vision and putting on the correct frames and looking at the world through the correct perspective, I want to invite you to think about the way in which we typically live life. One of the ways that I think that we live with a blurred vision is by the way that we think everything revolves around us. Everything is meant to make me better or me happy. Even my TV experience, right? That's an example of how we think life revolves around us getting the thing that we want, and it elevates us. But the way of God, the way of the kingdom, is always about elevating God first and foremost in everything that we do. Every action, every moment is an opportunity, it's an invitation for you and for I to follow him more closely, because he is the main thing. He's the central point of all of this world. No matter where we are, no matter what we're going through. In our story today, out of John chapter 2, verses 12 through 22, shows a perversion or this disruption to the way of worship in the Jewish temple. And Jesus finds out that people have defiled the very space that we were called, that his people were called to go and worship him fully. If there's anywhere that should have been the space of keeping God the focus, it certainly would have been the temple. But let's find out what happens in this story and what gets Jesus so upset. Starting in verse 12, it says this. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There, they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it's written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. In this story, we see that people had taken the temple, this place of worship, this place that should have been solely focused on the celebration of who God is and what Yahweh had done for them for centuries. And yet they had taken it and they had shifted the focus off of the reason why they gathered in the first place. Jesus walks in and he sees that they've defiled the very, that they've defiled, can you edit this out? Okay. Jesus walks in and sees that they've defiled the temple all over the place. They've turned it into a place for their own profit, for their own gain. To think about this from our perspective here and now, this is all about the betterment of them. It stopped being about the worship and celebration of who God is, and it became a room that was dedicated to people making money and achieving personal gain and status. They had forgotten the main thing. This morning, I want to draw our attention to one of the most amazing organizations that I think any of us could ever really talk about. And it's one that I'm sure you're familiar with, and it's delicious. It's In-N-Out Burger. Now, you want to talk about a company that has never forgotten what the main thing is. It's In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out opened in 1948, and their menu was pretty limited. It had hamburgers, they even had the double-double, milkshakes, and over the years, all the way through now, 2020, they've only added one or two items and done a couple little tweaks, and they've kept the main thing the main thing. The other day, my family and I were super hungry, and so we decided, oh, you know what, it's dinner time, let's go out. And we can't go into a restaurant, but we knew where we could drive through, so everyone in my family wanted In-N-Out Burger. And we live over in Indio, and we're close to the one in La Quinta, so we decided to head over there first. And I don't know about you, but I've never driven by an In-N-Out Burger that didn't have some sort of crazy line. But this line was outrageous beyond something I've ever seen in my life. It was longer, it kind of did like a zigzag. It went back and forth and weaved in and out. And in my brain, it was stretched all the way down Highway 111 in my brain. But in actuality, it probably wasn't that long. But I remember driving up and seeing that line and thinking, oh man, like I know where another In-N-Out is. That one's less popular. Let's drive over there and we'll kind of, you know, pass by this long line and hopefully get our food a little bit quicker. Well, we drive all the way over to the one in Indio and the line is even longer, right? Which my wife and I were talking in the front seat just about the hilarious popularity of this restaurant, how anywhere we go, the lines are always obnoxiously long. They're always like that. We've never lucked out and gotten a short line at In-N-Out. People will line up for days at In-N-Out. Now, In-N-Out has a very simple menu. They keep their whole menu focused on a few items that they do really, really well. And I think that attributes to a lot of their success. And if you take that and you compare it to McDonald's, who for years has actually been floundering, that their sales are actually down, and over the years they've added more and more and more items. They've lost sight of who they were originally, and suddenly they've lost the ability to even know what the main thing is. Now, you can like McDonald's, that's totally okay, you know, but In-N-Out clearly is the winner. But in this idea, in this concept that I'm trying to get across, when we forget to keep the main thing, things deteriorate. That's our first and foremost invitation. When we choose to follow God with our lives, what we're saying with that is we will live our lives solely for Him. Sometimes that means putting ourselves to the side. It means realizing that some of that other stuff that we think is important, the way that we live life like this, it's kind of blurry and we can't quite see clearly. God's saying, I want to help you see a better way. And that better way is always with God. So when Jesus walks in and he sees what's going on, it's not just that he's mad, it's that his heart has broken. His heart has broken because his people have lost their way. Now, sometimes I think we get, because of this blurred vision, an idea that maybe we are following God and we're not realizing that the thing we're following is actually what we want God to say, or we want God to call us to. I heard a speaker one time say, most people's version of God, the way that they hear God, is simply themselves with a megaphone. That one stings, because what that means is that most people have an interpretation of what God is saying based on their own self, and they want to put a megaphone up and say, no, God says this, and we take all kinds of things, whether it be the Bible or things within our church culture, and we pervert them and we change them into something that isn't really focused on the celebration and worship of our King, first and foremost. This means we have to be honest with ourselves about how we're living life. Have we been living life in a way that actually has been honoring and pleasing to God? Or have we lost sight? Has our vision been impaired and we're not able to see quite clearly what it is God has called us to in the first place? Last year, on the 4th of July, I hate buying fireworks because it's literally watching your money kind of burn away, but my kids love it, and so we wanted to have a 4th of July party and have some people over. And I remember I went to Costco and I was so excited when I saw like a 99 pack of fireworks for sale, because everything comes in a 99 pack at Costco or something like that, but you buy everything in bulk. And I was in the back and I saw it. It was only $19.99 for this huge, huge package of fireworks, and I couldn't believe it, and I immediately snatched them up. I put them in my cart, purchased them, showed them to my family when I got home. I said, look at what I got, and I put them in the garage and saved them until the 4th of July. And so we have all of our friends and family and everyone coming over, and we had this great dinner, and it almost was time for the fireworks show to start. And so we start telling the kids, all right, let's get everything ready, go get the blankets. So everyone's putting everything away, getting everything cleaned up. Some of the moms are laying all the blankets out on the lawn, and the kids are excited. We've got the lighters, everything that we need. And I go and I grab my box of fireworks that I'm so proud of. I've been telling everyone, I got such a good deal on these fireworks. It was so great. And so I go and I open them, and I'm like, oh, this looks a little strange. It doesn't quite look right. I didn't actually give it too close of a inspection initially, and I probably should have. But I start looking at it, and usually fireworks, they have a wick, and it sticks kind of straight up in the air. And this one was pretty floppy, but I didn't think much of it. I thought, you know what? I'm not going to complain. These were $20. They look good enough. So I go and I take it out and I take a lighter, and we're getting ready. And you always start with the small ones, and then you kind of make your way to the bigger and bigger ones. And so I took one of the smaller ones. I started to light it, and it won't catch on fire. I can't get the wick to light. I'm kind of looking at it and inspecting it. And I call one of my other friends over and I ask him, hey, can you help me out? They take it, they start looking at it. Another one of the guys comes over and starts looking, and immediately one of them looks at it and says, Ryan, these aren't fireworks. I said, what do you mean? I bought a whole pack of fireworks at Costco. Remember, I was so proud about it. He said, Ryan, these are party poppers. You bought $20 worth of party poppers. Now, if you don't know what party poppers are, they have a little string attached, you pull it, and it makes a little pop sound. Maybe it has a little bit of light, or it might have some confetti inside, so it does a little something. But I had purchased the largest assortment I could possibly find of party poppers, thinking that they were fireworks. Now, they looked like fireworks, like from a distance, like you might be able to think they're the same thing, but they're not. Now imagine the disappointment of all the family, the kids who were ready to see a fireworks show and instead end up with just a bunch of party poppers. Now I tell that story as a warning for you and for me to be honest about sometimes the thing that we think we're following isn't the actual thing. Sometimes it's disguised. Maybe for us, we have put things, like we talked about earlier, in the place of God, and we've given that megaphone voice behind it. But really, it's about us. For you and for me, that's something that we must deal with on a daily basis. We have to continually come back to this question of who or what am I serving? Who or what am I worshiping? Am I keeping the main thing the main thing? Am I keeping Christ the center of all of my worship? Or have I defiled the temple? Or like Jesus says, how dare you turn my Father's house into a market? Have we made a mess of what we've been given, of the life that we have? You and I are living temples. Now, we might be in, you could consider this a temple. It's a church building right here that I'm in right now, and it's sacred and holy, but this is not just where God exists. God exists in us as we go in the world. Because our bodies, as God states in His Word, are living temples and are to be treated so. So that means that the very way we live our lives is the way that we show honor and respect to the vessels and the things that God has given us to bring Him into focus and to worship Him solely. Not others, not other things, but Him. It's challenging, though, because in this world, I'm going to bet this morning, if you're watching this, you have some kind of emptiness within you that you feel. Something that we feel is creating a hole or a gap. And we feel the urge to fill that gap constantly with things. for this story in particular, we see them filling that gap with money. They're trying to build themselves with financial gain. And they've defiled the temple because that's not what we need to be worshiping. Because these things that we've put in that gap that we fill ultimately are the things that we give our time, attention, or worship to. They take all of our focus and attention, and we think this thing over here is going to bring me some kind of value or meaning, and really they end up leaving us empty and battered and broken. Coming back to that McDonald's metaphor, chasing after all kinds of things didn't help them. Whereas when you compare that to In-N-Out, they kept the main thing, and just see steady business over and over and over again. So what are we filling in that gap that we feel? What are you filling it with? Is it financial gain? Is it status? Is it a relationship? It could be anything and everything. But whatever we put in there, if it's not Jesus Christ, then we've missed the point. If it's not Jesus, then we have blurred vision. We're looking at the world, and it might look like it's going to fulfill. It might look like it's kind of the right thing, but it's not. My kids, when they were growing up, they had these toys that were shape toys, and I always love watching them try to fit like the triangle into the star. Kind of looks like it has some of the same angles, but it doesn't quite fit. And you see them jamming it in there, trying over and over and over again to get it fit. And it doesn't. Because that's not how you and I were created. We were created to keep the main thing the main thing. And yet we've allowed other things to blur that vision. So this morning, I invite you to think critically about what it is that you've placed in front of the main thing. What is it that you have placed in front of your worship and love of Jesus? What have you allowed to leak into your life? And the truth is, we all have something, myself included, because we're human beings. And that's a part of the brokenness of our nature, and we constantly must remind ourselves every day that this life, the only thing that will bring wholeness and healing to that brokenness that we feel is Jesus. We don't have to walk around with the blurred vision anymore. He invites us to say, look, I have something better to help you see what will actually bring about wholeness, healing, and redemption for your life. So will you follow the main thing? Will you keep him the center of all that you do in your life? If your body is a living temple, then how will you take the love of Jesus everywhere you go? May grace and peace be with you.